U.S. corporate earnings season starts with a whimper.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The stock symbol for the company that kicks off corporate earnings season every quarter is AA, which stands for Alcoa, one of the world's largest aluminum producers. Well, after the markets closed yesterday, Alcoa announced its first quarterly loss since 2009. And as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports, the company is blaming the European debt crisis for its troubles.
Alcoa lost almost $250 million in the last 3 months of last year, and Europe is largely to blame. Fears that the debt-laden continent could slide into recession have hit confidence hard. All the main industries here that buy aluminum have been affected. Construction, auto, packaging, and power supply companies have dialed back. Alcoa is cutting production as a result. Smelters in Italy and Spain will reduce output. William Adams of BaseMetals.com says Alcoa has also been hit by the rising price of oil.
To make aluminum is a very energy-intensive production process. So the higher sort of energy prices is certainly one factor which will have impacted there.
Alcoa's results reflect more positively on the American economy. Demand from the auto industry there is expected to buoy up aluminum sales. The average age of cars in the US has now reached a record 11.1 years, suggesting a big pent-up demand for replacement vehicles. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Now to the White House, where the president's budget director, Jack Lew, is taking over as chief of staff. He's replacing Bill Daley, who spent just a year on the job. Now, when Daley was brought on board, he was touted as someone who could improve a frosty relationship between the White House and Wall Street. So what now? For that story, we're joined live by our Washington bureau chief, John Dimsdale. Good morning, John.
Hi, Jeremy.
So does this mean the president's relationship with the business community is all better?
Hardly. Daley was a former banker and he was the commerce secretary for Bill Clinton, but he wasn't able to use those contacts to improve relations with business as much. He had some limited successes. He helped negotiate important trade deals and last year's payroll tax cut.
Right.
But on the big issues, he was just unable to bridge the sharp partisanship that dominates Washington.
Well, what about his replacement, Jack Lew?
His appointment means much less of an emphasis on business relationships. He's a mild-mannered budget technician, more of a pragmatic staffer. He's not a political player. For long-time Washington observers like Norm Ornstein at the American Enterprise Institute, Lew's expertise is going to be helpful for negotiating next year's budget and the big spending cuts that'll have to be approved to bring down the deficit.
You couldn't be better served under those circumstances, having a chief of staff who's intimately familiar with budgets and choices and also has long-standing working relationships with all the congressional figures that matter in these areas on both sides of the aisle.
In fact, during some of the hot negotiating last summer, the House Republican Majority Leader Eric Cantor actually had some nice things to say about Jack Lew. So who knows? Maybe change is possible.
We'll stay tuned. Marketplace's John Dimsdale in Washington. Thanks, John.
You're welcome.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are higher in overseas trading this morning, up between 1% and 2% right now across Europe. Also up, Coors Light's spot in the American beer rankings. It knocked Budweiser out of the number two spot in terms of shipments. Bud Light remains on top. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow ticked up 32 points to close at 12,392.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by GoToMeeting by Citrix, bringing high-definition video conferencing to online meetings for face-to-face collaboration. More at GoToMeeting.com. And by Reputation.com, monitoring, protecting, and improving reputations online while deleting personal data from the Internet. Reputation.com.
We all know you can recycle cans, bottles, boxes, and paper, but what about soap? Like the bars of soap that you get at hotels and only use a little bit of? Well, as it turns out, recycled hotel soap is the latest frontier in corporate efforts to go green. From the Marketplace Sustainability Desk, Eve Tro reports.
When Derek Kayongo came to the U.S. as a refugee from Uganda, a lot of American practices struck him as odd. His first time staying at a hotel, he wondered why the housekeeper replaced his bar of soap every day with a new one. So he asked the front desk,
"What do you do with a partially used bar?" He said, "We throw those out." I went back to my room and I lost it. I understood what it means not to have amenities like soap. Soap is the first line of defense against germs and diseases.
Diseases that kill millions of poor people around the world and could be easily prevented. Years later, Derek Kiongo's rented a warehouse in Atlanta. It's full of huge bins holding thousands of tiny soaps.
So each of these bins has half a ton.
His global soap project collects them from hotels around the country. Volunteers scrape off the outer layer, grind up the soap underneath, and make new bars.
This is what we give to a family of four, and it lasts them about a month because they take showers not as often as we do because of access of water and all those things.
The project's been limited by shipping costs. For one, soap is heavy, and Kiongo's got just one grinder.
If I had five of these machines, I would make a million bars.
A new partnership with Hilton Hotels might let him. The company's offered not just soap, but expertise in global supply chains and funding for equipment and transport. Hilton's vice president of sustainability, Christopher Corpuel, says it's not meant to sway individual customers to stay at his hotels. Environmental and social efforts give Hilton an edge for big corporate contracts.
Whether it's meetings, events, large customers who do multiple rooms with us, those customers are wanting to know what we do as a company as it relates to sustainability.
Because it helps those clients meet their goals and tell a good story, too. I'm Eve Tro for Marketplace.
And finally to New Hampshire, which, if you haven't noticed, is holding a primary today in the Republican presidential contest. The Granite State isn't very representative economically. It's got the fourth lowest jobless rate in the nation at 5.2%, and it's got the lowest poverty rate in the country at 8.3%. And yet, according to a recent Bloomberg News poll, the number one issue for voters in New Hampshire today is the economy. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
You sit down, you flip on the television, and boom, just like that, you're inundated with choices.
There are certain channels that you look at, like everyone pays for, no one knows why they pay for. If you're a channel that people pay for and don't know why, you have a very short lifespan.
I'm Kai Rizdahl. Pay what you need. The future of TV next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.